The Broken Arrow, a traditional bow hunting podcast with your host, Schaefer Magnet and Chris Seacole. Brought to you by Black Widow Bows, Safari Tough, Great Northern Quivers, Addictive Archery, and Laurel Mountain Outfitters.
We should kick this thing off and we should have them introduce themselves so nobody complains. Your father.
Absolutely. We'll start with the returning guests. I don't know how many times this is. 3, 4. I don't know. But we have Will Nicholson on.
Yeah, you are kind of a celebrity at this point, right?
Oh, God. Don't even start.
I mean, not everybody has a cardboard cutout.
Oh my God, how'd you find out about that? Billy? I swear, you better maybe. Not.
I think it was Derek.
Derek? Oh. Well, Derek didn't even go to, he might have went to Coshocton and Solid, but yeah. Well, no, you know who it was? I think Christian? The guy who made it, Christian, sent it to Chris or you guys. Yeah.
I actually talked to him last night. He disappeared. And I'm like, where are Christians? I haven't seen him forever on social media or anything. And I got a random text from him last night. And I was like, you're live. All right, cool.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess he took a hiatus from the social media.
Yeah, he did. He's a good dude, man. Like he lives probably like 20 minutes from me down in like North Canton. And last year, well, actually the first year he came back, I think we shot at least once or twice every weekend when he came back, like somewhere awesome. 3D shoot wise, you know, and it was awesome because I had lost a really good friend of mine that was a little bit older than me, but like unexpected death or whatever. And that's who I shot with constantly, you know, and then like a year kind of went by and then Christian like just messaged me out of nowhere and says, hey, I'm from Ohio. And I'd been following him on Instagram and he's been following me on Instagram for like years, you know, and I never knew him or really any, you know, anything about him. And he messaged me and said, hey, I'm moving back to Ohio. Where do you live? And I was like, oh, I live in Canal Fulton. He's like, no way. Like I grew up like North Canton area. And I was like, cool. Where are you moving back to? Oh, North Canton area. And I'm like, well, let's shoot. You know, and as soon as he came back, like, I think it was literally the next day that he moved. Like, I don't think his wife was very happy about it, but he was like, oh, yeah, there's a shoot at, or I texted him and said there was a shoot at Crystal Springs, which is right by my house. And he's like, oh, well, I got a lot of moving to do. I'll let you know tomorrow, you know, before we go or whatever. I'll you're going anyways, right? I'm like, yeah, but just let me know. And, you know, you can meet me at my house and I'll drive us or whatever. And yeah, he texts me like, I don't know, an hour before I was getting ready to leave. And he's like, hey, I'm on my way. I'm like, all right, sweet. And dude, we shot, I bet you at least every single weekend that weekend until season started. I mean, it just a good friend to, you know, go shoot with. Like anytime I wanted to shoot, I could text him. He would be ready to go. Like it was pretty awesome. But yeah. And I still, you know, talk to him obviously quite a bit now. So.
Yeah, he's a good guy, man. Definitely. Billy, you're up.
All right, Billy Dryden from Ohio. I guess I'm Will's sidekick. He is the famous one. I've been hunting with a trad bow now for, 12 or 13 years.
I think he froze.
I was about to say, are you guys?
I don't know what else you want to know.
Well, we only heard half of it, Billy.
Billy, you should try closing your. There we go. Try closing your video out. That helps sometimes. You could turn the camera part off.
How do I do that? I really have zero idea how to do that. Oh,
did it?
I did it for you.
Yep. Okay. There you go.
We'll see if that helps out. Sometimes that's the perfect magic key.
So what
for those who didn't hear that, we have Billy Dryden on.
Yeah. Will Nicholson sidekick.
Yeah.
Billy, where are you from?
East Central Ohio. I'm about an hour and 10 minutes south of Will.
Awesome.
Part of the shooting gang, shooting club.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Before we get too far into this podcast, Will's wearing a Great Northern shirt, and I feel like it's appropriate to probably say a rest in peace to Jerry Brum.
Yeah, definitely.
Who just unfortunately passed away. So yes. Hopefully all is well with the family and everything there.
Yeah, so. We wish them the best and so sorry for their loss.
Absolutely. But with that said, one of the reasons I wanted to get you two on the podcast was because you've started going on a lot of hunts together. I don't know if that's been going on or if it's new, but the hunting partner aspect of hunting is an interesting thing. So seems like you two have started to hit it off, so to speak. So I was curious to know how that all started and then want to get into the hunts themselves as well. So I know we covered it briefly on the Kalamazoo episode. I don't know what Chris actually left in, but
I left it all in.
You did,
but yeah, we can still bring it back up. This is we just did that little tuning episode. Now we're going to bring it back into good hunting stories.
What we're actually about here.
Yeah.
I can tell you how I met Will. I met him 2 years ago at Kalamazoo. He had actually shot with another buddy of ours, Cameron, and Cameron had run into Will up there. I ran into Will then with Cameron, and then I don't know. We've been friends ever since.
It doesn't take long now, does it?
No, but it is hard to find a good hunting partner that's going to go and put in the effort. And if I call Will and say, hey, what do you think about going here? 90% of the time he goes, hey man, that sounds like a good time. Let's go.
Yeah. That there's gotta be a special relationship there because
you gotta find somebody with the same level of crazy. I would assume.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a few attributes that have to line up pretty good.
People who can get through moments of suck and also do the work. That's huge.
Yeah. And I think that you don't find that out until you actually do it.
Yeah.
Because people can say whatever, but I can tell you right now, I've hunted with quite a few people and, you know, I'd say Billy by far is like the guy I would count on for anything. Like as far as, hey, we're going to go do the worst possible hunt ever. That would be the guy that I would definitely bring with me. I mean, he's just like me, just crazy and stupid, I guess, at the same time. I don't know, but
that's a compliment, yeah. Billy.
Yeah, that's a compliment. I'm stupid too, Billy. Don't, you know, I'm saying we're both in the same mentality at that. Yeah.
There's four of us pretty much right there. So
exactly. So yeah, I mean, all in all, you know, you know, somebody can say something sounds like a good idea until they're in it, you know, and then they go, okay. And the first day, yeah, they might be busting their butts and trying to keep up and doing whatever, but then the second day when you wake up at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning and you're getting ready to walk, you know, 3 miles for your tree stand and that guy's still sleeping and you're like beating on his tent like, dude, come on, let's go, like I already ate breakfast, like, and then it's like, oh yeah, oh god, do we got to do it again, like maybe we should go to a closer, you know, like Billy's complete opposite. I mean, we're on the same page as far as it goes when, you know, trying to pursue stuff, you know, and get along great doing it. And we have a blast doing it. So, I mean, I'm very fortunate to have him as a friend and a hunting partner for sure. And I mean, it just pretty much happened this year. So yeah, it was awesome.
That is cool.
I'm trying to think of the island name. It's bothering me.
Blackbeard.
I kept wanting to say Block Island, which is a completely different. I think that's a whitetail hunt.
Yeah,
off of the East Coast somewhere. But so that was the maiden voyage, right?
Yeah.
Is that Georgia?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a PBS hunt too, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Jerry Russell and Matt Schuster put that one on. Actually, I think Matt did originally, and now Jerry's taking it over. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
So what led up to that point? Like, did you two just both want to do it? Or was it like one of you, like, dude, I got a crazy idea. Let's do this. Like, was it a mutual?
I think it was.
Yeah.
We went to ETAR together first, and that was like the trial run to make sure we were going to get along and everything was going to be good. And then I don't know. I think.
Did you share a tent together? That's a good way to test it.
No, no, we did not. Hell no.
Wise move.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how the Blackbeard thing come along. One of us, I think, sent it to the other one, said, "Hey, man, this looks fun." I think Will might have sent that to me.
Yeah. Because Billy would kind of, like, you know, when we kind of hit it off and was talking a lot, and you know, we shot a lot together that year and stuff, well, last year. And, you know, we were talking. I'm like, man, I want to go do all kinds of different hunts, you know, especially with the PVS, because even, you know, as much as you might not have, you know, a success or anything like that, like you might not come home with something you went out there to hunt. I mean, just being around those people and everything is just awesome, you know. And at that point I'd only been on the LBO hunt, and the Blackbeard hunt just seemed cool, you know. I mean, pigs, for one, I want to shoot a pig like really bad. Of Schaefer, I'm sure you get it now, but
very familiar, yeah, with that thought.
Yeah, exactly. And that was like the main reason why we had gone out there, and we both decided. I was like, and he even told me, he's like, man, I want to go do all those things too, but I just don't have anybody that's willing to pull the trigger to go. And I'm like, dude, you say when, I'll go wherever, you know? And he's like, all right. And I think I kind of brought it to him like, hey, there's this Blackbeard hunt. You know, if we get in now, it might've been the year before. I could be wrong, but anyways, if we try to, you know, let them know that we're interested now, we'll see what it kind of breaks down to by the time we actually go, and I'll drive. Let's go. You know, and yeah, that's kind of when it all started. Obviously, we went to ETAR to kind of fill it out, you know, see if we were actually going to get along or not. But yeah, and he'd even said he wanted to go to ETAR, you know, for years. And I was like, well, I'm going by myself, so you can come with me. And it was funny because when he came with, we went together or whatever, it was like me and Billy show up, and then there's two other guys that kind of shoot with us that show up. And then his buddy Cam, well, the guy that I met Billy through, was always hesitant about going. Then he shows up, and now everybody this year is talking about how they're going to get a freaking RV and this, and you know what I mean? It just like completely blew their mind on how awesome it was, you know. And I'd gone years prior, but you know, it just, it's hard to explain it until you're actually there. Absolutely. And now everybody's just obsessed with it, you know. They're like, there's going to be like 30 people from Ohio that we know probably going this year, you know? So
to ETAR or to Blackbeard?
ETAR.
Holy jeez. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Did you ever go by yourself without knowing anybody?
I did. Yeah. I went 2 years prior. I actually drove there and then spent the day there, got up early, drove there, spent the day there, and then drove back, got a hotel, and then went the rest of the way home. So
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's
a place awesome. You can do that. My first year I went by myself. I didn't know anybody. That was when I met Ryan Job. That was, yeah. I mean, it doesn't take much. You can show up there by yourself, and next thing you know, you got a crew to roll around with and shoot bows.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun, man. It's, you can't ask for a better atmosphere, really. I mean, nope. I think it's, anybody who's like feels like they might be hesitant to go do something like that because they just started shooting or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be, or they don't know anybody, you need to go, because by the time you leave there, you're going to have probably 10 or 15 phone numbers to call and ask questions, and people you're going to talk to forever. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's awesome.
I don't know why this reminded me of this, Will, but I remember Compton. It was 22 is the year I went with my dad. I don't know if we had ever met in person at this point. And all of a sudden Will walks up to the campfire. Yeah. No, we just kind of all looked at him like,
thank God for you, Shane.
Exactly. Right. Like who is this? Maybe we had you on a podcast or I had you on a podcast. I don't know. I knew who you were. I'm like, yeah. Hey, it's Will. Yeah. Like it clicked eventually, but it was just some strange dude walking up to the fire at freaking.
But that's normal
at night. Yeah, exactly. That's
totally normal. Can't put off.
It all kind of started because I knew Eric from the Odd Year Gathering in Virginia.
Yeah,
like I forget like the year, 2 year or maybe a year before that or whatever. And, you know, Eric's from Ohio. I'm from Ohio. I see the flag, you know, he's got that awesome campground set up or campsite set up, start talking to him and getting to know him. And then I go to Compton and walk up to his booth and I'm like, hey, Eric, how's it going? You know, we kind of talked in between there a little bit, but, you know, not much. And he's like, hey, what are you doing tonight? And I'm like, probably just going to hang out and walk around and, you know, meet people or whatever. And he's like, well, we're having a fire on camping next to Schaefer and his dad. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I'd like to meet Schaefer. You know, did we meet before I stumbled up here?
Oh, you know what? Kalamazoo. We probably had met at Kalamazoo. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, and I had to have known him good enough to see him in person and know who it was. There's no way Instagram would have got me to that point.
Yeah, definitely. But that was like the fourth or fifth campfire that I walked up to until somebody said,
I never said you walked in a straight line.
No, yeah, I definitely didn't. There's no doubt. Yeah.
And Eric's always got a full bar set up at his campsite.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
They got a good thing going.
Yeah. Then we pretty much shot all weekend after that. So, yeah, it was fun.
But
I love how this all ties together. Absolutely. Everybody knows, you know, it's amazing.
We went from Blackbeard Island to Compton 3 years before. Yeah, but, so you guys go, you do the ETAR thing, and then so at this point, have you guys already talked about Blackbeard? Or is that after ETAR conversation? Because it was the following, I guess you'd call it winter.
Yeah.
Winter months.
I don't remember. I think it was probably sometime really close to the end, like after ETAR, that it come up. And we were fortunate enough to get in and get a spot. And I guess that hunt's already filled up this year.
Let's say it's low numbers. I remember that. But cool.
Yeah, I think it's like what? How many were there last year, Billy?
I think that about 25 showed up last year. I think Jerry limited it to 20, I believe. And
yeah,
it's full, but there'll be people that back out between now and then. That's a long time away.
That's how the PBS hunt was that I went on in Georgia. I bet you at one point it seemed like there was going to be 35 people there, and by the time all said and done, there was max of 17, I think we counted. So the committed folks definitely drop as you get closer. But
now Chris is going this year, right?
I am, definitely. Yes.
We'll see you there.
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah, I think Will and I are coming.
Dude, I'm so excited about that. I was kind of jealous because these guys all went this year and I got my balls busted constantly from those guys. And
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. I want to kill a pig so bad. That's been on the list. We've been talking about that since he and I started hanging out together about hunting pigs. And I'm psyched that he, like, you know, he brought it to my attention, you know, about PBS doing that hunt down there. And I was like, hell yes. The year doesn't work out. The timing sucks for me right now, but this year I'm going. Or excuse me, 25 in February.
Nice.
I'm skipping Kalamazoo to do that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm limited on vacation. So, I mean, I got to spread my time around. So I'll miss Kalamazoo 1 year. It's not the end of the world. I'll be there the following.
It's just a different direction of the same drive time.
It's the same drive time. It's probably cheaper, too. I mean, like, you don't have to get a hotel down in Georgia. So,
yeah, it's, I mean, so dirt. What was that?
It's so dirt cheap. It's kind of unbelievable.
That seems to be like the trend with like the PBS hunts. They don't break the bank, do they? Like, how was land between lakes?
That's expensive because of the tag.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, all in all, I mean, I think for cabin, you have to give Mark a deposit for your cabin. I think it was like 200, 250, something like that. That's to have your, you know, your cabin or whatever. And then I think all together for tag and license, it's like 350-ish, maybe. I could be way off. It's still
not terrible.
No, it's cheap. And like the LBL is like, it's huge. A cool place, you know? Yeah, it's huge. It's a really cool place. Like, I mean, I don't know, me and Travis, both years that we've kind of went there, like, had a blast, you know? I mean,
yeah.
The one year I killed a doe right after he left, and
I remember that.
Yeah, and it just, you know, I don't know, the next year, you know, you go in with all this confidence because you made it happen, you know, and then you realize that nothing looks the same, you know, the acorns are everywhere, you know, you're just like, well, this is going to be a lot harder, you know, and then
turns out I got lucky last year. It wasn't skill.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no kidding. But I could have killed a doe, but I saw a pretty decent buck behind her, and I was trying to hold out because nobody had killed anything at that point. And I thought, oh man, that's a pretty decent eight, like especially for down there. I'm like, man, if I shoot that thing, the Ohio guys are like really stepping it up. You know, like you know, all those Amish guys from the year before that slayed everything. Those guys came back the next year. Nobody shot anything, I don't believe. And the only kid that actually shot a deer was, Ross. I'm going to mess up his last name. Young kid, super young kid. I think he was on the Stick Boys podcast talking about how he shot a deer down there or whatever. I can't remember his name. We saw him at the PBS banquet. But anyways, I think he was the only one that ended up shooting a deer that year. But the year before, or last year, the year before, there was like 10, I think, or 9, you know, and then all of a sudden it was like an influx of people wanted to go to the LBL, you know, because they saw a bunch of people having some luck out there, you know. So, But regardless, I mean, any PBS hunt you go on is awesome. Like Steve Siley was at the LBL this year.
Yeah.
That dude.
He's awesome. Rules. Yeah.
He is the man, dude. He is so much fun. Him and Jimmy and his, I think it's his nephew, Doug Wolf. Yeah. They, oh my gosh, they were so much fun to hang around with at a campfire. It was a blast, but yeah, I don't know. It's just, like you said, like it's cheap regardless. Like it seems like they're all pretty reasonable. Obviously Africa and things like that are a little different, but they all seem to be pretty decently reasonable for where you're going, what you're trying to pursue. And, you know, somebody's kind of done some legwork at least enough to where you're going to get yourself into a position where you're at least going to lay eyes on something, you know, and it's kind of up to you to learn from there. So
I was always told PBS hunts are some of the best ways to get into, you know, say you've never gone elk hunting before.
Yeah.
Like a PBS hunt's the best way to get your feet wet. That general, I'm happy that was the first way I went pig hunting.
You got guys that have done it before, guys that are experienced that can kind of, you know, push you in the right direction.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're not having a PBS hunt because they just decided, oh, this looks like a cool spot. I should let everybody know about it and let's all go down there and try it. They've already hunted that area.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mark, he's hunted the LBL. Mark Wang has hunted the LBL for, I forget how many years. I mean, a long time, you know? So like he's more apt to put people in good spots to try to be successful than even himself. You know, I mean, he gets up every morning and misses like the first part of the morning to make people coffee. And you know what I mean? Like he's more of like the host. He's in host mode, not really trying to, you know, and setting people up for some kind of success as opposed to just, you know, hey, let's meet here. Well, this is my spot over here. Good luck. You know? Yeah. I don't know, but yeah, you can't really beat going to a PBS hunt and trying to learn something, you know? I mean,
yeah. So all this talk about the PBS, and I'm realizing I got an email about 2 or 3 days ago that my membership was up. So I'm going to go ahead and renew again, because like last April we had Sean on, and we were talking to Sean, and I wasn't a member of the PBS.
Probably about a year ago, eh?
It was a year ago. It's right now. It was a year ago to April, and Sean's telling me like, dude, you got to join. I'm like, screw it. So like on the episode, I joined the PBS. So on the episode, I'm going to go ahead and renew my membership right now.
There we go.
I'm perfect. USA associate member. Is that what I am, Schaefer?
You're an associates member.
Yeah.
And I just want to shout out Eric for such a wonderful first issue of 2024.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Cover. Oh, so,
Eric, you're looking quite dapper.
Awesome.
He's the man, isn't he?
He is. He's the best guy ever.
Eric's not bad.
Not bad. I think I'm going to get that cover like framed and put it on my wall. It's just like awesome. The epitome of like a traditional bow hunter, like right there. Like he's the man.
He's the best. Maybe you can get him to sign it for you.
That might cost me some money, but yeah.
He is wearing some sweet plaid.
He's always got a sweet plaid. He's got the dude's got the best plaid in that hat. Mm. I love that hat.
Yeah. That is a sweet hat.
All right. So Blackbeard, now that we've taken a 20-minute detour more left turns. And flattering Eric over there. So how was Blackbeard itself? We haven't even talked about the hunt. I mean, that's got to be an interesting environment. I mean, in comparison, especially to Ohio, not exactly coastal in Ohio. Mm-mm.
Go ahead, Billy. I've been talking too much.
No, it was awesome. We went in there not really having an idea and what we were up against, what we're looking at. We did find out real quick that saw palmettos are terrible. They will absolutely destroy you. We got in there and they literally said, put your stuff in a pile and take your tree stand and go hang it. So we did that. We found a little spot, hung it, and we were on pigs the first morning, a little early, didn't get to shoot those. But Will and I were on game, I think, almost every day there. And I think it was 3 days. One thing about it is the last day we decided we were going to go explore. So we went to the south end of the island and we were kind of looking, wasn't seeing anything. It looked super good. And I don't know, one of us looked at the other one and said, hey, we should probably go back to the north end of the island. And we did. And I think we put in like 12 or 13 miles that day. There was a lot of walking on that place.
Yeah.
How was the terrain? And I know you mentioned palmettos. Don't you love how it's just a set of plastic shades when you run into them? That's like the best. Exactly. That's the best way I can describe palmettos for those who have never been around them.
What are they?
I'm going to say a dense weed plant, since you probably know what a weed plant looks like. Yeah. Just picture those, but more
wider.
Gotcha.
You've probably seen them in Florida.
What's
that? Oh, yeah. They're in Florida. I'm sure you might have seen them there.
Yeah, probably. Probably. I'll be right back.
So, like, you know, just from my side of things, like, when we got there, taking the boat ride over was pretty awesome, for one. I mean, we're on this boat. Jerry's just hauling ass to get to the island, because it's just like people in and out like crazy, because they only do that hunt 2 times a year. And so we're cruising over and we see dolphins. There's like oyster, what do they call them, Billy? Like oyster bays or whatever, all over the place.
Like razor clams, weren't they?
Yeah, something like that, you know. But you know, you see dolphins, you see all this crap, and I'm thinking, like, well, I'm not in Ohio anymore. Like, this is completely, I never in a million years thought that I'd be bow hunting somewhere that I'm passing these things going to hunt, you know. And then we get out there and even Jerry was like, every movie you've ever seen of Vietnam, that's where we're going. And I was like, wait a second, like the jungle? And he's like, yeah, like the jungle. And there's all these live oaks, Spanish moss. I mean, it's beautiful. It's awesome. It's such a different atmosphere than what you're used to, you know, like it, well, obviously for at least Ohio, and I'm sure you guys too, but you get out there and like we dropped our stuff and start walking and we start scouting like crazy. And the whole time, for some reason, like Jerry's saying, it's like every movie you ever think of Vietnam. I was waiting for like Forrest Gump to start running down the road with like Bubba in his hands.
Bubba. Like,
he was not
shutting the butt. Like, butt this is, yeah,
like this is like something
you know, bit me.
Something's gonna bite my ass, you know? I don't know. It was wild, man. And just to be on the beach with your bow, you're like, what the hell am I doing here? You know, like, this is not normal at all.
Those are cool pictures you guys sent.
Oh yeah. I gotta send you guys the one of Billy up in the what was it, Billy? Like the driftwood, like there's a bunch of trees that got affected by the hurricane. They fell over into the beach. Well, like, you know, they're all stand up, but it's all deadwood, you know? And he's like, hey, Will you hold my bow for a second? So I hold his bow. He climbs up this tree. He's like, will you hand me my bow? So I handed him his bow, and he's standing up on the top of this tree on this beach, like at full draw. He's like, you mind taking a picture of this? Like, hell yeah. That's awesome. Like, it was funny, man. It was just so different than what you'd ever, you know, like, I don't know. You get a bow in your hands and you never know where that thing's going to take you. And then of all places, I never ever thought that I'd be on a beach, you know, trying to kill something, you know.
That type of stuff is one of the things that I enjoy going back to work and describing, because everybody at work doesn't get it.
Oh,
it's
no.
Like,
yeah.
You're going where and you're using what to do what?
Yeah.
Why?
You're driving to New Jersey to shoot your bow this weekend?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. You guys want to drive to Jersey this weekend?
I'd love to. It's opening weekend of turkey season.
So. Oh, all right. Well, that might take precedence over it.
Can't do that. I got a personal vendetta against those stupid things. So
they suck.
Yeah. I'm making it happen this year.
When our season opens up, I should probably know that.
I got a quick story about down there. So that first morning we get on pigs and they cross this slough and go up in this thicket, and we get down and we're like, let's go after them pigs. And we pull our hip boots on and we start across this slough, and I can't figure out why Will's got me going first. And about halfway across, I get to thinking, this thing's full of alligators, I bet. He's going to sacrifice me.
I totally did too.
You're like the penguin on the edge of the iceberg. Well, if he makes it, I'm good.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Did you guys ever fully grasp what a slough was, being not from the South? I eventually just took it as a larger body of water than a puddle.
Yeah.
But not like a flowing body of water, like a creek or a river.
Yeah. No, like a standing big mud puddle.
Yeah.
That just so happens to run like miles long. And when you won't go across it and you walk the other side of it, you think, oh, I'm sure I'll find a spot to cross back across. And then it just gets wider and deeper. And you're like, okay, well, anytime now, you know, it's going to shallow up and we're going to be able to get across it. And then you get to a point where you go, well, shit, now I have to walk all the way back to where we came across it, or just keep walking until I can find, you know what I mean? It's like a maze. Those things suck.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Did you guys see the pictures that Jason Samkowiak posted? It was today or yesterday, the cotton melts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, God. That's the thing. Like, when I think about hunting down south, I think about that stuff. And here he is sharing those photos. And I'm like, meh. And gators. Oh, and, that's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
It's like only bad if they bite you.
Yeah, right?
Right, yeah. Seeing them's not bad. It's the bite that sucks.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
And it's a big deal. But. Billy had one. Tell him that story, Billy, like the one that walked right across, like pretty much right in front of you.
Oh, yeah. So I'm sitting in this tree stand up on this road on a live oak, and I look down this road and I see something coming, and I'm not sure what's going on. It's got Spanish moss dragging behind it, and I soon figure out it's about a 4-foot alligator, and it walks right by at about 3 yards. And walks right out in the sun and lays down, lays there for 15 minutes, gets up and walks right up the road then.
Well, you're not going to see that in Ohio.
No.
That's awesome. That's cool.
Oh, it made the trip completely worthwhile.
Hell yeah. That is awesome.
I think Mark at the Fort Stewart hunt, he could tell who was from the north. based on our completely ridiculous bucket list items from the hunt. See an alligator, see an armadillo. Had nothing to do with killing a pig. That was just a bonus.
Did they have armadillos down there?
I did. I saw one.
Yeah.
Can you shoot them?
Yeah.
I have no idea. It was, but I saw one.
Oh, that'd be cool. That'd be
dangerous. I got all excited. We were driving down the road where we were going to hunt, and all of a sudden this thing runs across the road. I'm like, man, that was a weird looking pig. And then it just had a weird jaunt to it, you know. So we pull up further up the road, and I look off to the side. I'm like, ah, sweet, it's an armadillo.
Check that one off the list. That's cool.
Yeah, check. Yeah, Rob Duran actually shot one of those not this past year, but the year before, and at the LBL. And I think he said he shot like 5 arrows at it before he finally killed something actually penetrated the shell. But he had these wood arrows glued on, and then the broadheads through the armadillo, and he brings it back to camp, and he's like, yeah, I shot this, you know, like whatever. And I'm like, oh sweet, you know, because I hadn't seen one in a long time. You know, I lived in Mississippi for a while, and they were everywhere down there, but I hadn't seen one in a while. And we were thinking we were doing the Barry Wenzel, Gene Wenzel thing, and we'll take it back to his house and then lay it down on the side of the road and make it look like, you know, somebody hit it but with a car, and then they're gonna think armadillos have somehow navigated their way up into Ohio. But then we were all worried about it because we thought leprosy was gonna take off and we were gonna be blamed for it. So we're like, yeah, throw that damn thing in the creek and let's get the hell out of here, you know. But we couldn't get his freaking arrow out of it because the damn thing was a glue on. And I'm like, dude, I think you just need to heat it up. And he's like, screw that. And he stands on this thing and rips the broadhead and the arrow out.
Oh god.
And I'm like, I'm diseased. I got left, you know.
Rob, we're dead. Blood.
Something's bad.
Patient zero.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
The armadillo won. But yeah. We had one
vengeance.
We had one scare the crap out of us when we were walking back to camp at Blackbeard, actually. Cause every morning, once we found that spot, where we were hunting, it was a hike. I mean, how many miles were we doing a day, Billy? I think we did 30 or was it 30 or 40 miles in 3 days or it was something ridiculous.
So to my tree stand from camp to my stand was 3.5 miles. And then Will was going on past me. Well, so awesome. Yeah, we were doing anywhere from 10 to 12 miles a day.
That's awesome,
dude. And it was so annoying too, because the PBS isn't the only people that hunt out there. It's whoever goes out there for that second, you know, they said they do 2 hunts a year. I think one in November, one in December. And whoever gets out there hunts it. So you get out there and the PBS does it. Obviously you don't want a bunch of crap. So me and Billy are we're going to take the least amount of stuff as possible. So we get how many quart totes were those, Billy? 48?
No, they're not even that big, I don't think. I think they're 27 or 30.
Holy crap, really? Okay, I was way off. Yeah, but yeah, we have these totes, and we're talking the whole time, the week before, how much stuff are you bringing? Oh, I only got, you know, he bought this tote, and I'm like, well, that's what I'm bringing, because I don't want to be the guy that brings too much crap and then get a bunch of crap from people that I brought this, you know, whole boatload of stuff. So we compact everything down in these tiny totes, camping stuff. We had a cooler, obviously our stands and stuff, for my saddle stuff. His stand was strapped to the top of his tote. And then we had a cooler and our bows, and that was it. And when Jerry pulls up to the dock, we're standing there and he's like, all right guys, load up. And we're throwing our stuff in, and he's like, that's it. And I'm like, I knew it. I knew he was going to say that. You know, everybody else had a bunch of crap, and we were the minimalist, you know? So we get out there and throw our totes down and start walking. And it just seemed I don't know. It was just, I think we packed way less crap than pretty much everybody else that was there. Cause we were so worried about being those people that brought way too much stuff that we just consolidated into one thing, you know. And I think they were actually disappointed when they pulled up and we threw our totes in there, and they were like, "That's all you guys brought?" And they looked at us like, "How are you going to survive out here with just that tote?" You know, and I don't know. We made it fine though. I mean,
good enough.
It was a blast. Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, say in reality, did you still have too much?
No. Actually, on the way back, we were. My pants. I only brought like three pairs of pants or four pairs of pants. The ones I wore down, the ones I plan on hunting in, and then the ones I was going to wear back. Well, they got soaked because it rained on Saturday or Sunday, Billy. I don't remember.
I think Sunday.
Yeah, I think it was Sunday when we were getting ready to leave. So me and Billy get on the boat. We drive. You know, they drive. Jerry drives. Or no, what was that guy's name? I don't remember his name.
Oh, was his name Mike?
I think it was Mike. I don't know.
It was.
Yeah, but anyways, he takes us back. And I'm like, dude, I smell like a fishbowl. Like, I've got to get out of these clothes. And he's like, screw it, dude. Like, Billy's wearing his hip waders because his everything he has is drenched, soaked, whatever. And he doesn't even have shoes at this point, like, way underpacked. So we walk into this Walmart in Georgia. Billy's got his hip waders on. My entire wardrobe is just absolutely drenched. Like, as I'm walking through, like, in my Crocs, it's like there's just a puddle of water in each Croc, you know. And we walk through to go get like pants and stuff, and people are giving us the craziest look you'd ever see. Like, and this is Walmart, you know. I mean, of all places, to give somebody a crazy look, you know,
the like, people at Walmart are judging you.
Yeah, we're getting judged by the people.
You were those people on that day.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was like
the fat chick with meth mouth is judging you.
Yeah, she's looking at us like, ew. You know? It was awesome. But
Billy didn't pull off the hip waders look, is what you're saying?
No, he didn't quite pull it off in Georgia Walmart parking lot. Yeah, no.
I would think nobody'd look at you twice with, you know, in Georgia Walmart, but what do I know? You said it, so I got to ask you because I'm kind of saddle curious these days. What are you using for a saddle, and how are you liking it?
Well, I think I had a Tacta saddle from John Tucker, right?
Yep.
I think.
Yep.
I've had that thing for probably about 6 years, I'd say. Like, holy when crap. He first started making them, I jumped on the bandwagon and got one and started hunting out of it, loved shooting out of it. That was definitely a plus. Like, you're everything as far as, you know, form and whatnot, if you want to get into that, like, I felt like it was better. But as far as that's concerned, like, hunting all day, not. I think as I've gotten older, I kind of gotten out of it because it's just not as comfortable as it used to be. Okay. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, it just aches, pains, whatever, you know, like, I'm a pipe fitter. I've beat the crap out of myself for the last 20 years, you know, like, it just doesn't, it's not as comfortable. So I got a 0.5, I think, in the year before last. And I was using it as,
How do you like that?
Oh, I love that thing. Like, yeah. You're about my size, you know, like, I think if people like us, like, without a doubt, like, you could have, like, I used it as a hybrid thing for a long time before I actually just gave up on the whole saddle all in all, because anytime I'd sit down, the straps that kind of follow down the inside of your, well, I guess they're like right on top of your butt cheeks. When you sit down in that stand, and I got a bony ass, so like I'm sitting on that foam and I could just feel those straps like digging into like my butt cheeks, you know, and I was just like, screw this. Like, I got a harness. Like, I should just wear a harness and use this as a normal stand, you know?
Yeah.
So I started doing that more in Ohio, but when we were out at Blackbeard, I thought the saddle thing would be a good option just because, you know, getting up into those live oaks, like, I think Billy, actually, I got a picture of Billy, like, holding his bow, which is 64 inch, right, Billy?
Yes.
Yeah, holding his bow up against the base, the trunk of this live oak, and it's like another probably 3 feet to the end of like where you can see in the picture to where this trunk ends. No so kidding. You got like, oh yeah, I mean, the bases of these trees are huge, so you almost have to have like extensions to get like up to where it branches off. And then once you get up to that point, it's like any normal tree you'd hunt in Ohio or wherever, you know, Pennsylvania or wherever you guys are from, you know, it's just, but like getting up to that point was like a total pain in the butt. So I thought, and they had told us that beforehand. So I thought, well, maybe the saddle thing wouldn't be a bad idea. Just bring that out there. We're only hunting, what was it, Billy? 3 hours in the morning and 3 hours in the evening in a stand?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So once you do that, you know, they want everybody to, I mean, you can still be in the area that you're hunting, but mm-hmm. they don't want people to be like stalking or doing whatever by people who already have tree stands up, you know, just to avoid the controversy, I think, or something, you know. I'm not quite sure why they did that, but regardless of the fact, I thought the saddle would be in a better option, and I'm kind of glad I kept everything because, yeah, it would have been, I mean, Billy had a lone wolf. He didn't really have too many issues for the most part, but like, I felt like the saddle was kind of a little bit more beneficial because smaller platform, didn't really have to look for straighter trees to get into, and you could get all the way around it if you had to, you know, so.
Is it more practical? Like, I mean, this might be a stupid question, but like, I mean, I'm taking an assault too through the woods. Is it like you're not carrying much at all? There's sticks and are you taking a platform?
Yeah, I have one of those bison gear packs.
Okay.
And yeah, sticks strap right to the top. Platform goes right inside, and then you have your whole pack. And then I have like that. I don't know. It's like a cam buckle with the loops on it or the hangers on it.
Mm-hmm.
I set the sticks, climb up, have my pack on, bow ropes tied to my pack, have my bow down on the ground, climb up however I need to get there, set my platform, hang that cam strap with the loops on it, and pull my bow up, hang my pack, and good to go. Yeah, I mean, it's I like the saddle aspect of things because you still have a pack. You know what I mean? Like, if you have like a 0.5 and a pack on the back of it, it's a pain. You know, it's just too much. You don't need all that stuff. But when you only have what you can keep your saddle stuff in that pack, you can put more things in there. Obviously, you can put as much crap as you want, but it's still, I feel like it's a little more minimalist to a point, I guess. But I don't know. Yeah.
I'm on the fence. I'm not gonna. I don't think I'll ever get away from a tree stand. I love trees. Especially that Salt 2 is like perfect size for me. I love it. And despite the seat being small, it's still comfortable.
Like, your I'll go. Got a big seat,
dude. I'll go do 12-hour sits, and I'm comfy all day. I'm not bitching about you know. I love it. The one thing I'm 100% changing, I think Schaefer's kind of pushed me in the direction, I have a 5-point harness right now and I absolutely freaking hate it. And that thing is going in the garbage and I'm going to more of a climbing style harness. Who is that company?
The Dryad Killdeer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I just saw those.
Yeah. I'm going to break down and buy one of those. Cause I'm sick of the 5-point sucks. And I like that basically I can take my Lyman's and use it as like, what do you call it? A tether or whatever. And it's, you know, you just cinch up your ascender and you're golden. So yeah, I'm definitely going to change that, but I've been like, I mean, Schaefer's kind of been messing around with the saddle and I know our friend Ryan's been talking a lot about it. And I sat in one down in Harrisburg and it wasn't terrible. I don't know if I could sit in it all day, like I do my tree stand, but I do want to try it. I like the idea. If I go and hunt state game lands here in Pennsylvania, that I can go way the freak back in with not a heavy, heavy pack. That's kind of what I like that idea behind it.
Yeah, I think even out at Blackbeard, you know, Billy, what's that saying you have, Billy?
It's an older lone wolf. I don't know if it's an assault or, but that whole setup right there is like 20-some pounds, like 21 pounds. And then I had a backpack and hip waders on. I was probably over 40 pounds. It was terrible. I was kind of envious of Will carrying that little saddle around.
I can imagine. Yeah.
That sounds about right, Billy. That's about what either my Hilo or my Assault 2 setup weighs, around 20 by the time I'm strapping it to the pack.
That, and you got your camera stuff too, right, Chief?
Yeah, that is, you know, it's great. And I'm fat, so, you know, that's an extra little perk on top of everything. So, tell you what, I learned that my buddy Jimmy is a freaking billy goat, because I went down and hunted Massachusetts with him, and I hunted the same spot he shot his buck last year, and my goodness, it was straight vertical, it felt like, for a mile.
We did look at, we went to the Harrisburg show, and Brad and I were looking at the Lone Wolf custom gear. Those things are, they're nice.
It is buy once, cry once.
I don't want to even know the price. I don't even want to, I mean, like.
Well, they're like $500 to $1,000, depending on which you buy.
But the sticks are what I liked, because when they went flat. So they had everything compressed into a backpack, and I was like, holy crap, that's sick. I'm gonna jump on their website. What is that?
This is the whole setup right here.
Those are the sticks, yeah.
Sticks. I got 2 20-inch aiders, 4 sticks, and then that's it. I mean,
loop aiders? Like,
yeah.
Like these guys?
Yeah, they're like cables, though. They're like stainless steel cables. Yeah, same thing.
Okay.
Same thing, yeah. And like with these 2 aiders and 4 sticks, like I could be way up in a tree. I like having a stick like just about to like the bottom of the stick to the platform. And then I put my stand kind of through that stick.
Okay.
Lock it down.
What stand is that? You said 0.5?
Yeah, it's a 0.5.
Okay.
I got a smoking deal on it.
Yeah.
Actually, but yeah.
I probably would still have my 0.5 if they had the tall seat post at the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They didn't have the tall seat post. So being 6'1", it's not that the short seat post was uncomfortable to sit in. It was trying to stand in a less than. I don't know. Standing was difficult.
Trying to do
it quietly.
They only have 5 stands right now?
5?
The public land stand is gone? Oh, no, there it is. The 0.5 is the public land.
Yeah.
Okay. That was the one I was looking at. It's
tiny.
Yeah.
It's small.
Dang, those are sweet.
But, so, Blackbeard.
Sorry for sidetrack again.
So let's continue from Blackbeard. So Blackbeard was awesome, obviously. No success, but good memories. Classic. And then you guys decided to go back down south together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, in January.
How'd that come to be? Was that one of those, like, one of you sent a text message that started, like, sarcastically, and the next thing you know, it was an actual thing happening?
I think it happened a lot with me. I think it happened on the way home from Blackbeard, to be honest with you. We were like, man, we got to get back down.
He'll come back in. Billy? You there, Billy?
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 I'm here.
There we go.
There he is.
I must say, yeah. Can you hear me?
Got you now.
Did you hear anything I said?
No.
I mean, it sounded like an alien talking, but. Oh, now you sound good again.
We talked about it on the way home from Blackbeard. Perfect.
It's almost like we have a system. Anytime you're about to drop some secret code,
here. Are you there?
Just cuts out what you're saying.
Yeah. It's all pixelated.
Am I back now?
You're good, man.
You're
okay.
On the way back from Blackbeard. On the way back from Blackbeard.
After the Walmart stop.
When it come to be. I think that's when we decided, hey, we got to go back down and find a place to hunt pigs.
After
is the, that right, after Will?
Yeah, after the look we had at that Walmart, I think we felt kind of, we got fit in, so we were going to go back down there.
How far is it for you guys from Ohio? 14 hours?
Nah, it's like 10-ish, right? Am I wrong?
I think it was about 11 and a half or so to Blackbeard, and then where we went back, the second trip is like 10 hours.
That's not too bad.
So, like, when we were sitting around a campfire, Schuster was, you know, we were sitting there talking to him and Jerry, and I'm like, man, this is like the cheapest dang hunt you can go on and try to shoot pigs. And they're like, you guys are out here to shoot pigs? And we're like, well, yeah, that's kind of the reason why we came here. We're from Ohio. Like, we don't need to shoot deer out here. Like, mind you, we had just saw like deer in the skinning shed that looked like they might have weighed like 40 pounds soaking wet. So obviously
not an Ohio giant.
Oh yeah. 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 Right. But, and we were like, well, yeah, we kind of came out here to shoot pigs. And Matt was like, well, you know, I was thinking about doing a pig hunt like outside of Blackbeard because, you know, a lot of people come down here from northern states thinking that the pig thing's going to be, you know, what they're going to pursue while they're here. And, you know, there's a lot of other good WMAs and things like that that we could go to that we don't need a boat. We don't need, you know, we don't really need to schedule a whole lot of things. Like, and I was thinking about trying to get some kind of a hunt going like that instead. And I was like, well, while you're on that topic, where would you have that hunt? Because I'm pretty sure me and Billy are going to come back down here probably after the new year and try to shoot some pigs. And he told us like 5 or 6 different spots. We, you know, we were kind of thinking about it and we didn't really think like put any more thought into it until we were driving home. And I was just like, dude, we got to go back down there. I mean, for as cheap as it is and to go down there and do it ourselves, like you can't beat it. You know, I mean, even if you spend 3 days there on a long weekend, you're spending, I mean, you can go down there on a trip, at least for us from Ohio, you know, 10 or 12, however many hours, you're only spending like $200 to $300, you know.
I was about to say, like, gas was by far the most expensive thing on my trip.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And yeah. And I got rid of my big diesel truck and I bought this Jeep Cherokee, like Trailhawk. And now that I have that, like, it's, I'm ready to go anywhere, anytime, because gas mileage wise, I'm saving myself a gajillion dollars, you know. So, you know, Billy was interested and I'm like, let's do it, you know, let's just look into it. Let's go. So we went down in January and shoot, I think we had just, I mean, it wasn't like the atmosphere of Blackbeard. It wasn't like the foliage and things like that, but it was a blast. I mean, we were on pigs. Billy shot one, like, and he can tell you that story or whatever, but like, yeah, it was cool. Like, to be able to live in Georgia and like just walk out your door and go try to kill a pig, you know, like, would be awesome. I mean, I'm sure you can probably agree at this point, Schaefer, like, they pretty much can hunt them all year.
I wanted to ask, obviously we're in vastly different whitetail states, but I wanted to ask if it ruined any level of your desire to hunt. I don't want to say whitetails, just like the tree stand side of whitetail hunting. It gave me a lot of want to do the spot and stalk thing a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of had a taste of that going out to South Dakota
and
killing a muley and killing an antelope out there. And that was all spot and stalk, you know, and just knowing that you can do that, especially when you're around whitetails in Ohio. And I mean, really, even Blackbeard. I mean, me and Billy got up within 10 yards of a doe, you know, and had we been a little more patient, one of us would have definitely killed that thing. But like, the best part I thought of that entire hunt was be able to get on the ground and stalk whitetails. because you can't do that in Ohio. Like, the wind could switch out there, and they might get a brief, you know, scent of you being there, and they're going to bounce off for 30 yards. And then once that wind switches, they're going to calm back down. They'll go back to feeding, whatever. But you can still stalk them. In Ohio, if a deer smells you, it's like three counties over by the time you even react to it, you know? So being able to even just do that in Blackbeard was cool. And then also with pigs, stalking them, for one, they're way easier to stalk than, I would say, and I hope I'm not like speaking out of terms here because I've never killed one, but like, it seems like you can definitely get close to them a lot easier than a whitetail, an antelope, or anything that I've hunted. But they also really have a good sense of smell. And the freaking wind in Georgia does whatever the hell it wants from one second to the other. So if you have an opportunity, and I think we talked to you about this, Schaefer, at Kalamazoo, like, if you have an opportunity and you think you can get a shot off something,
take it.
Because it could change in a blink of an eye. You know what I mean? So that part of it was awesome. And I like you said, like, yeah, it does kind of kill sitting in a tree stand for you because you're like, okay, nothing's here. Like, I should be on the ground looking for deer or whatever, you know, and you know you can't do that in Ohio, but at the same aspect, you have to like train your
mind. We should say can't do it practically.
Practically. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, but you gotta love that aspect of tree stand.
It feels more natural.
Where something could change at any second and you don't know. You have no control over it. It is you did your best by putting yourself in the best position possible, and that's it. And you sit and you wait, and the next thing you know, your life could change in minutes or seconds. I love that part about tree stand hunting.
Yeah. Oh, it's because you never know what you're gonna see or what to expect, you know. I mean you put yourself in the best circumstance or the best situation, and then, you know, that might be, you might not see anything that day, and the next day you might go back to that same spot and there's 30 deer coming through, you know. You don't know, you know. But I
think Schaefer's answer is he just needs to move.
Well, when you're only seeing like a handful of deer a year,
as how do you keep the motivation up?
Yeah. I mean, I hats off to you, Schaefer.
Like, seriously.
You are as diehard as it comes when it comes to like being a traditional guy and hunting deer where you're from and everything else. But like, I don't know. I feel beat down when I haven't killed something by like the second week of November. And then, you know, Schaefer's excited because he saw like two deer in the time that, you know, and that whole time I've been hunting, he's like pumped because he saw
something.
Yeah, exactly.
Saw a doe at 100 yards.
Yeah. And I'm passing up things and like being selective. And
Chris felt so bad the week I was down with him because he's like, this is just not how it normally is. I'm like, Chris, I've seen the amount of deer I would see in the next 3 years in 2.5 days. I'm like, this has been a success. Okay.
It was a slow week at my place. And he was like, this is awesome. I'm like, wow, this sucks.
Yeah. Well, Travis went through the same thing when he came down and hunted with me. I think it was the week before youth season. So it would have been like the third week of November this past year. He comes down and he was like pumped, you know, he saw quite a few deer, you know, he had a shot on one that he misjudged the yardage. He thought it was too far. And then he got down and realized like, oh crap, that was only like 18 yards. I should have shot that thing. But, you know, he saw way more deer than he did back at his place, you know, and we had a blast. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But still, you know, it's stuff that, you know, keeps you on the edge of your seat and keeps you invested. If you're not seeing that, it's hard to stay motivated. You know, I mean, I don't know. Another big long tangent we just got on, but
that's right, okay. That's what podcasts are.
Yeah.
Traditional tangents.
Yeah.
We've exceeded the hour mark. We're on a roll.
I was about to say, it's holy not that crap, I want to.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's an hour 15 right now at this point.
I don't want to cut it short, but I do have to wake up at 3
a.m. What? Oh. You're leaving at 3 tomorrow?
I'm waking up at 3.
What time are you leaving?
4.
Holy
shit. Oh my gosh. Shafer, you're usually in bed by now anyways, aren't you?
Yeah, seriously, this is way not past on Thursdays.
We tried to move podcast time to 7.
That so screwed me up. Yeah.
And it's impressive how moving it up 1 hour was like every day him and I were like, man, it's going to be difficult. You lose that 1 hour.
Now it's staying lighter later, so we want to be outside shooting and stuff. We don't want to be, you know, so we wait till 8.
Yeah.
I got to work tomorrow. I can't, well, but I'm only an hour and a half from that shoot, so it's not too terrible.
Hey, I'm just happy. This is the first trip I've been on for a while where departure day and arrival day are the same.
Same, yeah. I'm really hoping I can sleep in my hammock. That's my biggest excitement for the weekend. I love sleeping in that thing, and I'm hoping there's enough trees that I can find a spot to set it up.
Never been here, so it'll be a fun one.
That'll be interesting. What else do we need to cover before we wrap it up then?
I don't feel like we really covered anything.
We didn't cover anything. No, this is not covered. It's been a bunch of like right and left hand turns.
It's been a good conversation. I'm not sure if we got anything done, but
no. Somebody will listen to it maybe.
We have to redo this. I don't know.
That's not that bad.
This is the episode for Monday.
Yeah, we've had worse. Oh, no. We've had worse.
You want to hear how I?
Yes.
Do you want to hear how I messed up a pig in Georgia?
Absolutely.
Actually, we need
opportunity.
What we need is we need two really good hunting stories, one from each of you, and then we can call it a night.
Well, I'll tell the one in Georgia. It's not a really great story, but it is because of the people that I was with. It was an absolute blast. So Will and I, and then our friend Bob, went back to Georgia in January. And poor Bob, I think he's 58. And we drug him about 10 miles the first day. And the poor guy got out of his tent the next morning. And he's a trooper. He never said anything, but you could tell he was having a rough time. And we start driving back into this WMA. And I said, hey, back up, Will. There's something out in this green field. And Will backs up and he's looking and he's like, oh, that's a shadow. Then he goes, oh, that's pigs. And he whips the car off the side of the road. We just grab our bows and take off. We're trucking down this field edge, and we get into 35 yards on these pigs. And I mean, it's perfect. We need another 10 to 15 yards. We're going to get in there, and there's probably about a dozen pigs in this field. There's three of them directly in front of us, two of them bedded down. And we getting ready to make our move, and a wind hits us in the back of the neck, and them pigs are just absolutely gone. It was pretty incredible. So we head back out, pick Bob up, and there's a little point out there, and we put him on that point. And I think he was pretty happy not to have to walk around with us. So then we went back out to the car and drove around and come in from the other side of this green field, stalked across it, got to where we could see Bob, told him to just stay, and we circled back and went down in the woods. And I don't think we went 30 yards, and Will said, hey, there's pigs right there. So we start making a stalk on this pig, and we get in there to like 18 yards, and the thing's just moving every which way. And it finally turns quartered away, and I thought, well, I better just take the shot, because if not, the wind's going to switch. So I shot and hit this pig forward and high, and we go over. Find blood within probably 10 yards, and it looks good. It's got bubbles in it, and we're celebrating. We're going to find this thing. It's going to be awesome. Long story short, I'm standing there, and I watched some pigs go across the slough. Will had slipped around and went out and tried to get on the other pigs. And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, here comes another pig, and it gets to 12 yards, but it's quartered too, and I don't want to take that shot. And it was kind of weird being on the ground with a pig, and it kind of sees me, but don't know what's going on, and finally turns and runs. We end up tracking that pig, and actually didn't find it, unfortunately, but just getting to shoot that pig was awesome, and I'm absolutely hooked. And poor Will was just getting ready to draw his bow, and yeah. I shot it.
I don't know if you guys have ever shot with Billy, but Billy's like the snap shootingest son of a gun you'd ever see in your life. Like if we lived in the old Western days and we didn't have like six shooters and you were to get in a tussle with Billy at a saloon and all you had was a bow, he would empty his quiver out before he even knocked an arrow. I mean, he'd be like, he'd be dead, you know? So I drew on this thing. It was broadside to me. He had the better shot, really. But I, you know, it's standing right in front of us. And I'm like, okay, he's broadside. Like, I'm shooting. And I grab the string and I look over. And just out of the corner of my eye, I see an arrow go back on Billy's shelf. And I was like, that, I'm not even going to try because that thing's going to be gone immediately, you know? So I was like, screw it. You know, I just put a little bit of tension on, just looked over my shoulder. I'm like, oh, he's already a full draw. It's going to be gone like that. So, yeah, I thought for sure we were going to find that thing, but whatever, you know, that's part of it. But yeah, it was cool. It was a lot of fun. Definitely plan to go back for sure. But
well, we need a story from you, man.
Oh, geez.
No pressure.
Well, my year kind of sucked really, but, all in all, honestly, I think like the best part of my entire year was just being able to hunt with a guy that you get a good hunting partner out of, you know, like me and Billy never hunted together, hunted together at Blackbeard, hunted together down in, you know, that WMA we went to. And, yeah, it was just cool. For one, not really knowing him that well and getting to know him as the year went on and getting to hunt with him. And, yeah, I mean, even after he shot that pig, I had probably four stalks after that. Like he sat there and like the pig that ran in front of him, I almost shot when he was on the ground. Like I almost shot it. The wind switched. It ran straight towards Billy. And I'm like, oh man, that's not good. Like he's sitting on the ground. That thing's about to get poked, definitely, you know. And I had like four stalks after that, so it was cool. Like the pig thing is addicting. I mean, it's a lot of fun, and I look forward to getting back down there and hopefully Fort Stewart next year with you guys.
I'm excited.
Fun. Good time.
I cannot wait. I can't wait to do it.
Yeah you'll love it. It's like Schaefer said, like you get that aspect of like spot and stock, and I feel like you feel like it's right. You know, like this is what you should be doing with the traditional bow in your hands. And once you make a connection on that, I don't know if you can. I mean, shoot, when I shot my mule deer in South Dakota, I thought that I could come back to Ohio and hunt whitetails that way because I felt like I'd mastered this. You know, I made I've this happen.
I'm the so. Indian.
Yeah, exactly. I am the Indian, you know, and what a horrible, horrible idea that was, because, you know, a freaking mule deer in South Dakota is nothing like a whitetail. It's pressured to hell and back in Ohio, you know, so, yeah, I mean, like you said, though, Shafe, like, that spot and stalk is, it's pretty cool, and when you make it happen, you do become the Indian, I feel, you know, and that might be totally off filter, but, like, you do feel like you really accomplished something, you know, but
absolutely.
Oh, that's cool. I can't wait to experience it. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Sorry for the numerous tangents.
This is fun. I love it.
I feel like we didn't cover anything. Like for one, I want to say thank you, Ben Holcomb, because there's a guy that we met at Backbeard and we spent a Saturday hunting his private place in Georgia that was short, like a short distance from the WMA we were hunting on, and he ate some deer heart fajitas that I cooked up out at Blackbeard, and that's how we got to know him. And he never had deer heart before, and he cooked it up, man, and we just hit it off. And I said, hey, we're coming back down here eventually, and sure as crap, man, the guy extended an invite to come to his place and hunt his private land, and we went out there and stalked around, had a good old time, man. But yeah, awesome. Regardless, like I said, we didn't even cover really anything that
we'll have to do this again.
Yeah, for sure,
definitely.
It's never a bad time when we get our most famous guest on, so
yeah. Oh, yeah, God. You can't go wrong.
Why?
The only celebrity we've ever had on here. I mean, this is pretty sweet.
Next time we're gonna have Will Nicholson and his cardboard cutout on.
Yeah. Where is the cardboard cutout right now?
In Coshocton, Ohio. In a display case, I think, in Coshocton, Ohio. Because somebody named Billy, I think, might have put it there.
I'm sure I can get a hold of it.
All right. You got to bring it to the next one then.
Oh, God. Can we shoot it?
You'll have to go to like the Archery Hall of Fame and sneak it into a display. Just real naturally.
Stuff in the Fred Bear display.
I was literally saying, like, if you can find Fred Bear like pointing off into the distance and put him
right next to him. can you please bring it to Etar?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Nobody will let me near it because I'll light it on fire.
You can't, dude. You cannot do that. That is like one of a kind. That's priceless. I'm gonna
destroy it. That'd be funny. Well, you should bring a back or baby carrier with you and just have your mini me.
Sticking out the back.
Hell yes. Oh man, awesome. Guys, thanks so much for coming on. Appreciate it.
I was about to say, and this is why we don't get anywhere on an episode.
These are the best ones, man. When you just absolutely. You go five left hand turns and here we are. It was good.
Right, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Appreciate it, guys. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Etar, definitely 100%. Yeah.
You should be, yep.
You should come out to Sawmill sometime. That one's even more fun because nobody's there and it's just shooting.
Oh, that'd be fun.
No crowds and it's just shooting. It's so much fun.
Is that the week? Week it's, 2 weeks before?
It's last it's week. Last week. It's like the same week, just in June. Yeah. So it's the last full week of June.
Gotcha. That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's usually not too far either.
No, usually it's Compton is 1 week and then the following week is Sawmill.
Sawmill, yeah.
Usually gotcha. Falls in that realm.
That's a hoot.
Yeah, heck yeah. We might meet you out there.
I took the whole week off for Etar this year, so I'm gonna go out like Sunday morning.
Oh, sweet.
And I'm camping Sunday to Sunday, and I can't wait. Because Eric gets there early too, and like a bunch of us will get there early, and it's just you're not doing anything but hanging out, drinking beer, cooking food, and relaxing around a fire. It's awesome.
Does anybody beat Eric to a rendezvous? Like, I don't seems think like so. He's yeah. It, I was
it's,
gonna say.
It's almost like he's retired.
Yeah, that's weird, what happens when you retire.
All he can do is just be retired and go do fun stuff all the time. It's I don't
my
get
favorite.
It.
Is it's a happened dude. A few times where he'll like call me or I'll call him and what you up to, Eric? Oh, just driving to Utah.
Yeah.
What like you that, doing like in that, Utah? Got to pick up like my elk meat.
Yeah, like the was that the podcast with you guys? He was talking about the elk he shot, and then he was like, "Well, you know, I had some issues shipping it, and I just decided to just drive on out there and get it."
Yeah,
that's awesome.
He drove to Utah again, like holy crap!
God, I hope I can retire someday.
Oh my God, I hope I live Eric's life when I do, because that would be the best.
You're gonna have to buy Great Northern when he retires from that.
Oh gosh, yeah, I'd love to. That'd be sweet.
That'd be cool.
I get to see. I'll be hunting with Eric in like a month.
Oh yeah, bear hunting, right?
Absolutely. Wow, that's coming up quick.
Oh man, I want to do that.
I'm proud to say that is one hunt where I'm the closest individual.
Finally,
nice. I only have an 8-hour drive on that one.
Dang! Wow.
The worst part is, like, if I lived anywhere else, it'd be way closer. But if you're wondering, there is no interstate that goes from Colchester, Vermont to freaking New Brunswick. It is back roads across three states.
Probably a pretty cool drive, though.
New Brunswick's cool. New Brunswick's pretty neat. Isn't there any shit there? There's nothing out there. And it's kind of funny because I remember the first time I drove through New Brunswick, we were going up to Prince Edward Island and we're driving along and there's these little tiny stop signs. They're like this big randomly alongside the road. I'm like, what are those? And then I realized, oh, they're snowmobile trails with like they're like all these street signs, but they're smaller. And
we have those here.
It took me a minute. Well, we don't have them in Pennsylvania, so I didn't know why are there stop signs on these like bike trails? It's weird. They're snowmobile trails.
Why is there a stop sign in the middle of that guy's farm field?
I don't get it. Yeah, right. Oh, well. All right, boys.
All right, guys.
Excellent.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Yeah,
thank you.
Real quick before we go, just want to take a moment and thank our partner, Black Widow Bows, along with Addictive Archery, Safari Tough, Great Northern Quivers, and Laurel Mountain Outfitters. Also, if you have a moment, please take the time to leave us a review. It really helps us out. On top of that, I just want to thank everyone for listening. Hope you enjoyed, and best of luck out there.